Luke chapter 2, verses 39 to 52. God bless you over there in the West Auditorium as well. We see you over there. And Father, we are so grateful that we can open up your word, but we pray most importantly that you will open up our hearts, that your word would come upon good soil, that it will bear much fruit, and that that fruit should remain, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. We just pray, God, that you will work in our hearts this word that you're going to speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 2, verses 39 to 52, the title of this message is Growing with Jesus. Growing with Jesus. Now, there are tons of books written on how to grow in your relationship with the Lord. Christian bookstores have entire sections dedicated to the subject. And in these verses, we're going to be told about the early years of the life of Jesus. We're going to be told four things on how he grew up. And these verses are important for us to study because it will give us some principles that can help us grow in our relationship with the Lord. So he grew up, number one, physically, number two, mentally, number three, spiritually, and number four, socially. And we're going to come back to those things for you folks that's not as quick on the pen as you used to be. We'll come back to them. Look what it says there in verse 39. It says, so when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. Verse 39 says that Mary and Joseph had performed all things according to the law of the Lord. The all things are referring to the sacrifice that they offered and how they presented Jesus to the Lord. We talked about that last week. What an honor and a blessing it would have been if our children grew up in the home with parents like Joseph and Mary. Parents that are dedicated and determined to perform all things according to the law of the Lord. Yes, we as parents, we make mistakes. We've made plenty of them. But let us determine, like Mary and Joseph, to do what we can to perform all things according to the law of the Lord, which is the Bible. Let us just pretend, that we are Mary and Joseph and our children are Jesus. What do you do differently? That is a joke, isn't it? More like, no, I ain't gonna say that. Let me ask you something. What would we do differently? What would we do differently as far as parenting? If you knew that you had the responsibility to raise Jesus, how would your parenting skills change? What would you allow for him to watch or to listen to, knowing that it was Jesus? Would you say, you know, I got to make sure he reads his Bible, make sure I pour scripture into him, because, you know, he's Jesus. Then raise your children this way because you don't know the great plans God has for your children. And your preparation and parenting will either help or hinder those plans. Just think about it. It's Jesus. What would you do differently? How would you raise them? You knew, they knew Jesus. The angel told them this is going to be Jesus to save. They knew it. And if you knew, what would you do differently? What would change? What would change in your own parenting skills? You got to look at these things and search your own heart and change and adjust your parenting skills accordingly, because you don't know who you have in your home. I just wonder if my parents knew I will be doing what I'm doing today, would their parenting skills have changed? Would some things they would do differently? And just think, Billy Graham had parents. You don't know who your children are going to grow up to be. I know for a fact they had no idea I will be doing what I'm doing today, but I am. You don't know what your children are going to be doing today. So you need to prepare them and parent them as if you had Jesus in your home. And I just wonder, just looking at your own skills, what would change? How would you deal with them? How would you discipline them? What would you pour into their lives? Well, then you need to make those adjustments now. Look at verse 40. It says, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, this verse gives us three of the four stages of growth that Jesus went through that we can learn from, which are, number one, Jesus grew physically. Number two, he grew mentally. And number three, he grew spiritually. I love how the first part of verse 40 says he grew and became strong in spirit. Jesus went through the normal growth of a child. He went through the normal physical development, learning how to walk and to talk. And no doubt, there's no doubt in my mind that his first words were, "Dad, Dad." There's no doubt in my mind. Jesus went through these stages so he could sympathize with us when we go through these stages as well. And I bring this up because maybe you had a tough time when you were growing up, or maybe when you were a teenager. You know, you physically, you were awkward. You know how the kids go through that awkward stage and, you know, their legs are this tall and the upper body is this tall or something. And maybe you had one of those awkward stages. Just understand, Jesus can understand. He understood these particular things because he went through the normal growth as a child. So we saw, number one, he grew physically, but it also he grew mentally. Look at the second part of verse 40. He says he was filled with wisdom. Jesus not only learned the Hebrew alphabet and his numbers, but he grew in wisdom. Wisdom is the practical application of knowledge, meaning Jesus grew in how to apply the knowledge he had to solve the problems of life. James 1:5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives it freely. It's one thing to have knowledge, but wisdom is what we need, which is the practical application of that knowledge. I've seen a lot of people, and you have too, with knowledge, but they have no clue in the practical areas of life. We say, when we used to say back home, you have book sense, but you have no common sense. And what we're saying is that they're lacking wisdom. The way to get wisdom is two ways. A, by asking. James 1:5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask. That's referring to prayer. That's referring to prayer. The second way is B, by the word of God. God has given us a whole book of wisdom called the Book of Proverbs. And there are 31 chapters corresponding with the 31 days of the month. So every day we can get wisdom we need for our everyday lives. This book covers every issue and situation we can experience on a daily basis. Subjects such as raising and disciplining our children, marriage, money, co-signing, the dangers of adultery, just to name a few. So Jesus grew in wisdom, meaning that Jesus went through the hassles of life and he grew in wisdom on how to handle things God's way. It's one thing to go through the hassles of life, but it's another thing, are you going through them God's way? This is where wisdom come in. Wisdom is the practical application of that knowledge. And so he knew how to do things and handle things the way God will handle it, giving us an example to follow. So Jesus, number one, he grew physically. Number two, mentally. And now he grew spiritually. Look at the third part of verse 40. Notice it said that the grace of God was upon him, meaning that Jesus walked in fellowship with God and depended upon the Holy Spirit. In other words, he studied the scriptures and spent time in prayer and delighted to do the will of God. And it says that the grace of God was upon him. This means that God's favor was upon him. Jesus walked in the favor of God. I say this because grace is defined as God's unmerited, undeserved favor and kindness towards mankind. Jesus had this upon his life. Grace is how we are saved. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This grace is given to us by God in order for us to be saved. But see, you have to understand, grace is so wide, it's so deep, that grace is not only what gets us into the kingdom, but it's also there's some grace we need to learn about. It's so deep and so wide that 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And this is what I believe Jesus did. But here's the thing. Why did Jesus subject himself to this? Why would he go through this? To leave us a pattern so we can follow in his steps, like 1 Peter 2:21 says. He also subjected himself to this to shut people's mouths, who will cry out and saying, you know, God, you know, how do you know what I'm going through? Oh, it is easy for you, Jesus, because when you were here on the earth, you were God in human flesh. And Jesus will respond and says, yes, I was God, but I was also man. And I chose to subject myself to the normal development of human beings. I chose to be hungry, to be sleepy, to be thirsty, to be weary. So I can sympathize with you when you're thirsty and hungry and weary and sleepy. So Jesus grew, number one, physically. And number two, mentally. He grew, number three, spiritually. Now let's look at what God wanted us to know about the childhood of Jesus. No doubt he received this information from Mary herself. Look at verses 41 to 43. It says, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. When people traveled in these days, they would travel in groups. The women and children went first and the men traveled behind. The reason for this is so no one was left behind. And I believe that this is a good example for us to follow in the area of church life. We must not leave anyone behind who are younger in age or younger in the Lord on our journey home to heaven. I am amazed at how much power parents are giving their children in the home. If they don't want or feel like going to church, they are left behind. Notice how when the parents went to Jerusalem, Jesus went too, that there was no negotiation or given some options. Jesus went with them. Why? Because that is what was done in the household of Mary and Joseph. Parents, men, it is time for us to man up and lead our home spiritually. If you're a single parent, ask God for the grace to be strong and firm like Joshua was when he said in Joshua 24:15, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't know about your house. I'm not going to concern myself with what's going on in your house. But for me and my house, we're going to do God stuff here. I told my children that many times when they were growing up. I said, and if it becomes an inconvenience for you to serve the Lord in this house, we didn't bolt you in. That door and the hinges on it, we made sure we put some WD-40. They swing open with ease. And you can always hit the door. But when you're living here, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, you get out there and you want to just do your own thing, that's on you. I did my thing when you were with me. Because we're going to do God stuff here. That's what we're going to do. But see, some of you, you give your kids the option. You feel like it today. Now school is about to start. Now all of a sudden they want to do some homework. Got a project on church time. Oh, now they want to do the project. The rest of the year they don't want to do anything. But on church time, all of a sudden the project is due. See, and you say, okay, stay home and finish it up, baby. I'll be home in about an hour. That didn't go on in the Mary and Joseph household. And the Clark household either. We went to church. And Wednesday night, you came home because you're going to get that last minute project. Guess what? You were up to midnight doing that project because you ain't going to take away from God's time. You're going to do that project. I remember my wife being up with my daughter or something. It was 1 a.m, you know, and she had to get up about 6. She had to get up at about 6 or so to catch the bus. And we're going to do God stuff here. And so Jesus went to Jerusalem with his parents. But when it was time to go back home, watch this. Jesus decided to remain behind. Look at verse 44. It says, but supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. Now, a day's journey is approximately 20 miles. They thought Jesus was with them in the midst of other relatives. He was playing with some cousins, some aunts, and you know, he was visiting with folks he don't get a chance to see all the time, and he was hanging out, and they got a day's journey, about 20 miles, and thought that he was with the other relatives. Now, I wonder how many times we leave church or some spiritual activity assuming Jesus is with us just because we came. And I find it so true that Mary and Joseph did that. I find it so true that they did that, that we can be so in a hurry to get back home to do our thing that we have not even checked to see if Jesus was ready to leave. Notice how they went as far as a day's journey or 20 miles before they noticed that Jesus wasn't with them. So too, we can go days and weeks continuing on with life and Christian activities before we look up and notice that Jesus isn't with us. We left him in Jerusalem. Notice that something had to click in the minds of Joseph and Mary that Jesus wasn't with them, that they came to themselves and realized that Jesus wasn't in their midst and they had to go back to Jerusalem. It reminds me of the prodigal son and what it says in Luke 15, verse 17. It says that he came to himself and he said, I got to go back to my father. And some of you, you know what? You came to yourself this week. And that's why you're here today, because you came to yourself. You know, I'm reminded of what it said, what Jesus said to the church of Ephesus in Revelation 2, 5. It says, remember, therefore, where you have fallen. Repent and do your first works again. In other words, go back to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is that place you last sensed the presence of Jesus. What were you doing? Were you up early in the morning before work, praying and reading the Bible? Was church and Bible study a priority for you? What were you doing when you really were in touch with Jesus? Then you need to go back to Jerusalem and start doing those things again. Here's my point. We adjust to his plans. He doesn't adjust to ours. I want you to notice that. He didn't adjust to theirs. He didn't adjust to their plans, and they were ready in a hurry to get back. You know, we got to get a, you know, roads to be crowded. You know, it's a whole bunch of us. And so we got to hurry up and get on the road and beat everybody out of the parking lot. So as soon as he says, amen, let's get hurry up and get out the door and grab the kids and we're gone. No. He doesn't adjust to us. We adjust to him. So how did this happen? That they left Jesus behind. I believe verse 42 gives us a hint. It says they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. In other words, the feast of Passover had become a custom. Something that is familiar, something that is routine. It's something that we do. We don't have to think anymore. It's just become a custom. When reading the Bible and church and praying and things become a custom, we can go on doing these things and Jesus is left behind. This is a word for some of us who've been believers for some time, because you can get so caught up with just reading and so caught up with just praying that it's just a custom. You do something for 21 days. It's a habit. And you've been doing it for 21 years. And now you're not reading to know more about him and praying to seek his face or coming to church to worship him. Now it's just your custom. And you do it and keep doing it and keep doing it. And Jesus is left behind. And then after a period of time, it's like, well, you know, I need to find me another church because I'm not getting anything there. And all the time, it's not the church. You left Jesus behind. Because what that which you used to do to bring delight to you now is a custom. It's just what you do now. You've been a believer for some time. It's just what you do. No longer there is excitement to come to church and get with the body of believers. No longer there excitement to say, what wisdom is God going to give me in this word? No longer is it the excitement. Oh, Lord, it's so good to pray to you. Now it's just your custom. And Jesus is left behind. And watch this. We continue to do it and we not even know it. They went a day's journey. They went a day's journey, 20 miles, and not know that Jesus was left behind, that Jesus wasn't ready to go. But they didn't care. You know why they didn't care? I'm gonna get to that in a minute. I can't jump ahead of myself. Can't jump ahead. Look at verses 46 and 47. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." Okay. Now, there's no reason for us to think that Jesus was being some preteen brat or some cocky kid by debating with these teachers. No, he was learning in humility and in quietness. But it is obvious that someone was asking him questions and they were blown away and astonished at his answers and his understanding. Now, verses 48 to 50, they're amazing. It says, so when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Notice, I'm going to bring to your attention what Mary says. She said, "Look, your father and I," and Jesus had to stop and correct her and say, "Joseph is not my father." This tells us that by the age of 12 years old, Jesus understood his purpose in life. And that was his father's business. And God was his father and not Joseph. 12 years old. Do you know your purpose in life? Do you know why you're here on this earth? Jesus knew by the time he was 12 years old that his purpose in life is to be in his father's house and be all about his father's business. Jesus was saying that this wasn't an option because he said in verse 49, "I must be about my father's business." So what kind of business is God in? Well, this word "must" is used two other times in the Gospel of Luke. In Luke 4:43, he said, "I must preach the gospel and the kingdom of God to the other cities." Then in chapter 9, verse 22, when he said, "I must suffer many things and be killed." So the business that Jesus is in is, number one, preaching the good news, and number two, offering himself on the cross. And if you want to go into business with Jesus, then you must be about these things as well. Number one, the preaching of the good news. That means sharing with people you know that Jesus paid the price for their sins on the cross and they can be forgiven if they repent of their sins and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And number two, offering ourselves on the cross. That means putting our pride, our selfishness, our way of the highway mentality on the cross and offering ourselves, like Romans 12:1 says, as a living sacrifice for his use and his purposes. This is what Jesus did. He said, "I must be about these things." In other words, he was compelled to do these things. Are you compelled to be about the Father's business? Or is it that it's all about you and what you want? In other words, are you in business for yourself? Jesus was all about the Father's house and about his business. And may this be true, and may this be the desire of our hearts as well. Something else I want to bring to your attention that I almost spilled the beans earlier. I want you to notice something in verse 48. Notice how Mary kind of scolded Jesus for not telling them he was staying behind. Notice that. And this is a sign that Jesus has stayed behind in our lives, is when we are irritable. She says, "Why have you done this? Your father and I, why have you done this?" No doubt she had to be a little ticked off. They go 20 miles, a day's journey in. They got to turn around. First, they have to look among the relatives. "You seen Jesus? You seen Jesus? No, I ain't seen him. Well, I ain't seen him. I ain't seen him. You seen him? You seen him? No. Then they had to go 20 miles back to Jerusalem. Search all over the city for him. Finally, when they found him, I'm sure she was good and irritable. Why have you done this? Scolded him. Oh, how many times have we scolded Jesus when he hasn't done things the way we thought he should do them? And God, why did you allow? Why did you do, you know? So irritability is a sign that we left Jesus behind. And another sign that Jesus has stayed behind is worry. Your father and I have sought you anxiously. That's always a sign that Jesus has been left behind is worry. Ladies, you have a PhD in worry. Multiple degrees. But just understand, when you worry, it's a sign that you left Jesus behind. You think Jesus is with you, and all the time, he's left behind. We sought you anxiously. Another sign that Jesus has stayed behind is unclear thinking. Unclear thinking. You know, I want you to notice the phrase, why have you done this to us? I want you to notice that phrase. That's unclear thinking. That's a sign that Jesus has been left behind. Why have you done this to us when it was them who got ahead of Jesus? But when we leave Jesus behind, our thinking isn't clear. Why have you done this to us? Oh, how many times have we said, why have you done this to us? And all the time, it was us who got ahead of Jesus. It was us who went ahead of him. It was us that didn't check to see whether Jesus was ready to leave. It reminds me in the Old Testament that the Israelites, they did not leave unless the pillar of cloud or fire led them. As long as it was there, they stayed. When it moved, they moved. And so often we just do stuff, not even considering the Lord. Yes, his word says in all his ways acknowledge him, we can direct our path. We know that up here, but we don't live it. We say in some things we acknowledge him. We acknowledge him in everything. We do so many things and pop off and do all kind of decisions, make these crazy decisions. And then when we get ahead of the Lord and it doesn't work out, why have you done this to us? We're serving you. And that's a sign that we left Jesus behind. It's unclear thinking. Accusing Jesus of something when all the time it was us who got ahead of him. Look at verses 51 and 52. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature in favor with God and men. Notice he said that he went and was subject to them. Even though Jesus was the creator of the universe, he humbled himself to Joseph and Mary, giving us a pattern to follow. I bring this up because a lot of people disrespect their parents, their bosses, and leaders because they say, I know more than they do, so what can they tell me? Big deal. Jesus knew more than Joseph and Mary and everybody on the earth combined. But he went home and was obedient to them. See, the underlining principle of submission is not what you know, but it's what you are becoming. And if you're becoming more like Jesus, submission will not be a problem for you. But if you're not becoming more like Jesus, you heard that word submission, and I might as well have said a curse word. It's not what you know, it's what you're becoming. And Jesus humbled himself to the parenting of Joseph and Mary. And so it's not what you know, it's what you're becoming. There's something else I want to draw to your attention in verse 52. Notice how Jesus increased or grew in favor with God and men. Notice that. This is the fourth principle. Jesus grew, number four, socially. We're about to have some fun now. Socially. Are you growing socially in favor with men? So often we have no trouble growing in favor with God. We sit and we read and we pray and we study, but with men, you isolate yourself. You're a recluse, a social misfit. I would have said weird, but my wife would have just said something to me about that, but weird. And you become so comfortable to the point where you say, well, this is the way God made me. I always tell you, God never saved us to leave us the same way. He saved us to change us. And you're just so comfortable. This is just the way I am. A lot of people put no effort to grow socially. You're unfriendly toward coworkers and neighbors. But as we can see, we need to grow socially, because how will we ever influence anyone for Jesus if we don't grow in this area? Jesus had a likability about him. There was something about Jesus that people wanted to be around him. Even little children wanted to be around him. They just, you know, the disciples, like, keep these little kids back. He said, oh, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom. I can see Jesus had little kids, you know, bouncing them on his knee, one trying to climb up on his back and, you know, up on his head. And he just smiled, just laughed. He loved little kids. That's always a sign. If little kids just kind of just like you, that's a, because, you know, hey, they're pure. I'm not talking about your bratty kids. Some of you got brats. You can, hey, how you doing? That's your brats. Some of you got bratty kids. You know it. You know who they are. And you get some kind of satisfaction when they cling to your leg and they're bratty. I'm just here to tell you they're bratty. But I'm not talking about those. But just kids can sense when something's not right with folks. They can sense that. We can sense it too, but we're politically correct and we just won't say anything, except for me. I will. I tell you. But it kids are like that. My wife told me after first service, we were walking out, she said, you know, mention second service about when I was at the gym. You know, I'm working out, you know, the gym, they had a little summer program. Summer program, you know, Paul knows. Paul, you know, he's right there, one of the instructors, a little summer kid, got the kids, got a little camp, and let them run off some energy while the parents are at work and all this sort of stuff. So one day, you know, I'm about to go and finally do my ab thing. And I said, okay, I can't wait to get this over with. I'm ready to go. So I walked through the basketball court area. They were playing some dodgeball and all this stuff. So I kind of walked through real quick. And all of a sudden, a girl about 9 to 10 years old, she just kind of got in my path and just looked at me smiling. And I looked, I said, do you know me? She said, I know you. You're from Calvary Chapel. I said, yeah. Another little girl come. And, you know, their team was getting tore up in dodgeball. And then I had a crowd of kids around me. They were looking and smiling, you know. And I said, who are you? And what's your name? Oh, my name is Brittany. And little kids, they just wanted to be around Jesus. Jesus had a likability about him. There was something that was like a magnet that drew people to him. And see, some of you need to grow in this area. Remember, I'm your friend. I'm here to help you. There are some great books that are out there to help us in this area, such as The Winning Attitude, Becoming a People Person, Becoming a Person of Influence, just to name a few, by John Maxwell. Some of you, you need the bundle. You need the whole bundle. Had a guy out the first service, he said, I need the whole bundle. I said, yeah, you do. Some of you need the whole bundle. You're not likable. I'm here. I'm your friend. I'll be standing right out there. And if you ask me, some folks ask, and I tell you the truth, you're not very likable. I'll be nice about it, and I'll just say, you got some work to do. So if I say that, I'm just saying, you're not very likable. I have to look at you every week so I can see what faith. Now, I know some of you are going to try to smile coming out the door, but the smile is going to almost crack your face because you're not used to doing it. And then I had some that escaped out the side doors because they didn't want to come my way, because they know they're not likable. You are a social misfit and you know it. Let's just be honest with ourselves. This is a cleansing moment, a cleansing moment. Yes, I'm a social misfit. I need help in this area. You do. Because I'm not saying you got to become like a person like me or something like, no, like Jesus. He's likable. I tell you, I'm telling you, God's will, I'll be at that door. And there's a couple of people that I just said, God bless you. You got some work. You need the bundle. You need the whole bundle. Bundle these books. Now, there are some of you who wrote this down. Some of the books down. There's some of you went in one ear and out the other. You the ones I'm talking to. You need the bundle. Get online. You know, get all of them. Get all of them if you can. Because we need to grow in this area. We need to grow because some of you, you're odd. And you know that. You've been odd. A little boy, you know, you're just the weird one in the class. And you're odd and you need to grow. I'm here to help you. I'm here to help you grow socially. People come around and you close up like a clam. You know, stop accepting this about yourself and ask the Lord to help you grow socially or in favor with God and men. Notice that he grew in favor with God and men. We have no problem growing in favor with God. We have no problem with that. Well, we study, we read, we pray, oh, the Lord is good. And we're a recluse. We are just some person out in left field. You have to grow in this area. And I'm here, I'm your friend. I'm here to help you. See, nobody talked to you like this before. That's okay. I'm your friend. You know I'm your friend. And you know I'm here to help you. Some of you, you're going to dodge me. That's okay. But I got my own. You're going out the side doors and stuff. So when I see you again, I'm saying, you won. Just say, let's go ahead and admit it. Let's accept this. Because we need to grow in favor with God and men. Does people want to be around you? Or are people, oh, if I go to your job and say, what's up with them over there? And they say, you know what? There's a 10-mile radius. We don't get within 10 miles, not 10 feet, 10 miles. Would they say that about you? When you get in crowds, are you like, just weird acting, you know, off to yourself, you know, you were the little kid that went off, the whole crowd on the playground, you kind of off there kicking a couple of rocks. You need some help. I'm here to help you now as an adult, to help you in this area. I'm telling you, I'm your friend. I'm just here to be your friend. You need to grow in this area. You need to grow. Y'all know who you know who you are. You remember that. You still thinking about that rock you kicked when you were little. It's the same one. It's still there now. Let me conclude with this. We saw what it means to be growing with Jesus. It means four things: that we're growing physically, mentally, spiritually, and socially. Which one of these areas do you need to grow in? Do you need to grow physically? You need better physical health. Start by working out. We have a bunch of, exercise instructors and folks in our church. Hey, there's great stuff on the computer, from the couch to 5K and all kind of stuff. Some of you are trying to do it. You got to start somewhere. You need to grow in physical health. Number two, mentally, you need wisdom for life. There's the book of Proverbs. Some of you got it. Some of you went in one ear and out the other. Number three, do you need to grow spiritually in favor with God? Start by just reading the Bible every day. Let's just start by reading every day. You're going to pick up every day. Start there. And number four, do you need to grow socially in favor with men? Though above books. And don't come through the line and say, what were those books again? I'm not going to tell you. No, okay. You should have got it when you're in here. Ask your neighbor. Get the CD. But you need the bundle. You know that. All of these things really are found in Jesus. So when we partner with him and develop a vibrant relationship with him, he will work these four things in our lives, because Jesus was likable. He grew mentally. He grew spiritually. He grew in all these areas. So when we're connected to him, he will help us grow in these areas. Stop accepting the status quo about yourself. The standard is Jesus. Not, well, this is the way I am. Jesus wasn't like that. He wasn't like that. Just look in the mirror and say, was Jesus like me? You immediately ought to say, no. We need to grow in these areas. May God help us to cling to him. May God help us draw ever so close to him so he can work these things out in our own lives. I know I talk tough to you. That's okay. You'll be all right. I'm helping you. Remember, I'm here to help you. I've been sent almost 20 years ago to help you. Here to help you. You know why? Because I need help in these areas. I need to grow. Because whether you believe it or not, when I'm at home, I'm more of a recluse. When I'm at home, I'm kind of weird. Quiet. Not too much talking, you know. And I'm like that. Then when we have stuff over at the house, you know, I can open up then. But I'm not like this all the time, is what I'm saying. I can grow in this area. I can grow in all these areas, definitely. But as we cling to Jesus, he will work these things out in our lives. May God help us to cling to him. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. We pray, God, that you will help us to grow in these areas. And Lord, I just pray, do a work in our hearts, do a work in our lives, because Lord, we need a lot of work. We need to be clinging to you. Lord, help us to know when we have left you behind. Help us not to get ahead of you and your plans. Help us to seek you in all our ways, Lord, and to know that, Lord, when you're ready to go, Lord, help us to sense that. Help us to know that. And Lord, may we not get ahead of you and your plans. Lord, we need you so desperately. We're in need of you because, Lord, we have fallen so short. Well, Lord, thank you so much that you went through these things so you can sympathize with us as we go through them. And, Lord, I just pray if there's anyone here who has not received you as their Lord and Savior, that today will be the day of salvation for them, that they repent of their sin and make you the Lord of their lives. Your word said they shall be saved. Work in our hearts today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.